We're in a series right now called It Is Written. This is a series about the power of God's Word working in our lives every day. The challenge for us is to daily make the Word of God a part of our lives. That it's not just a Sunday or a once in a while thing, but it's something that is impacting our life each and every day. And I want to challenge you to read it every day. It's better than the news. It's better than Facebook. It's even better than your favorite TV show. I'm telling you, it declares itself that it's better than silver and gold. It's sweeter than the sweetest honeycomb. I'm just telling you, the Word of God has life in it for each and every one of us. And oh, how we need to read it every day of our life. Now, if reading the Bible is new to you, no matter how long you've been in church, there's a lot of us that haven't read the Bible on a consistent basis. And so if reading the Bible, really being a student of the Scripture, is a new thing for you, this is just a little pastorally advice. Don't start in Leviticus. And don't jump over there, Revelation, you know, where it gets all weird. You're not going to understand it. I mean, there are men that have studied it all their lives and they don't understand it. I'm just saying, they think they get part of it figured out, but they don't understand it all. So here's my pastorly advice. Read the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, you will find so many of the great stories of the Bible that will build your faith. Read the book of Psalms. In the Psalms, you'll see that they struggle just like we do. They deal with emotions and conflict and issues just like we do. And yet God brought them through to victory on the other side. Read the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, you will find wisdom for everyday life that again and again and again, it will speak to you. And I got to tell you, a lot of it is definitely different than the wisdom of this world. Read the book of Proverbs. It'll speak wisdom to you. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all about Jesus. And when it's all said and done, it's all about Jesus. And you know what? You just read those books and you'll get to know Jesus better. And it'll build and strengthen your faith as you saw how he worked in the lives of others, that he'll work in your life as well. So read the Bible. And that's a good place to start. Listen, it's all good. But those are some good books of the Bible to start with and just to help you get going. But the Scriptures were written that you might believe. This is not a book of stories and anecdotes, fairy tales. One little boy on the way home from church, his dad asked him, he said, "What did you learn in children's church today?" I said, "Well, we learned about the children of Israel and how the Egyptian army was pursuing after them. And so they built these pontoon bridges across the sea. And they got on their people transports and went across. And then once they got across, the Egyptian army started pursuing after them. And the Israelites dynamited the bridge and they all died in the sea." And the dad said, "Son, did they really teach you that in children's church?" He said, "No, Dad, but you wouldn't believe what they said." And here's the thing. I've actually heard people try to undermine that particular story like this. Here it goes. "Well, first of all, it wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Sea of Reeds." And you know what? I'm okay with that. And then they say, but it was only 6 inches deep. I'm okay with that too. But here's what I know. I know for certain that they crossed through on dry ground, that the water was walled up beside them. And they, listen, over 1 million people walked through on dry ground. And then, when the Egyptian army, the greatest army in the known world at that time, when they pursued after them, the water came down on them, and they all died in that sea. And it don't matter to me if it was 600 feet deep or 6 inches. What I know is that my God drowned their enemies in that sea. And I'm just telling you that these stories were written that we might believe. That story was written for us that we might believe that our God will always make a way when there is no way. Some claim to be spiritual and they think themselves intelligent and they try to explain away the scripture and the truths of God's word and all of the miracles that happen in the Bible. And you see, we need to believe God for miracles. He is still a miracle-working God. He can do anything. And he declares himself in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. He hadn't changed. If he is a miracle-working God then, he's still a miracle-working God. And as we read the Bible, we need to allow it to always bring faith to our hearts. These things were written that you might believe. John 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, John specifically, I think, was talking about his book and that it would help them, it would cause them to believe that Jesus really was the Christ and the Son of God so you could have life in his name. But I believe that it not only applies to the Gospel of John, but it applies to the whole Bible, that these things were written that you might believe. All of the stories, all of the principles, all of the promises, it was all written that we might believe. John says it very clearly, that you might believe. The Word of God is the foundation of our faith. You can't build your faith on reason or supposition or religious ideas or the philosophy of man or just what so-and-so said. No, you got to build your faith on the sure foundation of the Word of God. This is the only thing that's a sure thing. And you got to build your faith on what it says. And when you read it, every day, let it bring faith to your heart because these things are written that you might believe. I want to just kind of work our way through the Gospel of John real quick this morning. In John chapter 1, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This was written that we might believe that Jesus really is God. That in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. This was written that we might believe that God came to earth in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, to pay the price for our sin, to rescue us. He came for us that we might know him and that we might spend eternity with him. I'm just telling you, it's written that we might believe. A little bit later in that same chapter, in verse 29, it tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's written that we might believe that he came to sacrifice himself for our sins. John chapter 2, it's written that Jesus turned the water into wine at a wedding when they had run out. That's written that you might believe that no matter what your situation, no matter what the circumstance that you're in life, that Jesus cares about you and he can step into your situation at any time and do a miracle, totally turn things around. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. It's written that you might believe. In John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that we must be born again. Have to be born of the Spirit, he said. This is written that we might believe that Jesus didn't just come to give us a new religion. He didn't just come to reform people. He came so that we could have a new life. He came so we could be a new creation in Christ. Not the same old person, but a totally new person. Born again. Born of the Spirit of God. These things are written that you might believe. A few verses later in John chapter 3, that verse that most of us know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. This was written that we might believe that our God loves us so much that He made a way that we could spend eternity with Him. Amen. It was written that we might believe. In John chapter 4, Jesus offers living water to a woman who's had five husbands and now she's living with another man. This was written so that we would know that our God is the only one who can satisfy the thirsty soul. You see, in every single one of us, there's a need. There's something deep down inside that only God can truly fulfill and satisfy. And Jesus makes it clear that it's for all of us. This was written that we might believe that He is the source of that living water that satisfies. In John chapter 4 and verse 50 and 51. Listen, there's a man who's come to Jesus and he's asked Jesus to heal his child. And this is Jesus' response to this man. He says, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. He believed the word. He believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." This was written so that we would believe that when we go to Jesus and we ask Him for healing for our child, when we ask Him for healing for our friend, our brother and sister in the Lord, or maybe our neighbor, even our enemy, that He hears our prayer. And all it takes is a word and for somebody to believe that word. Jesus told him, "Your son lives," and he believed the word of Jesus. These things were written, you see, that we might believe. And if we'll just believe the word of Jesus, He'll answer our prayers too. In John chapter 5, it's written, Jesus healed a man that had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time. That's a really long time. 38 years this man was sick. It's written. It's not for that man. It wasn't written for him. It's written for us that we might believe that no matter how long it's been, no matter how hopeless that situation looks, no matter how much you might have given up, it's not too late for Jesus. That Jesus can still turn it around. And you say, "What about the 38 years? Here's the thing. Move on. Let God speak faith to your heart through the word of the Lord. If He did it for a man after 38 years, He can do it for you. This was written that we might believe. John chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000. 5,000 men that He fed with a sack lunch, a little boy's sack lunch. This was written so that we might believe that even in the leanest of times, and we don't have it. We just don't have enough. There's just no way that God can take it and make it more than enough. This was written for us that we would know, that we might believe that our God is our provider. He supplies all our need according to His riches in glory, and He always makes a way when we'll believe Him. It was written for us to believe. John chapter 6 also tells us about how Jesus walked on the water. This was written that we might believe that the laws of physics, the laws of nature, are no problem for our God. I'm telling you, the Creator supersedes all of those laws. And at any time, no matter what it looks like, no matter how impossible, all things are possible with God. He can do it. These are written that we might believe. See, there's not anything that's too hard for God. John chapter 8 tells us about a woman caught in the very act of adultery. But He forgives her. These things are written that we might believe that no matter how much we've messed up, no matter how bad we've blown it, we might feel like there's just no way that we could ever really live for God because we've messed up too bad. We might feel like God could never use me. I've made too many mistakes. But this is written that we might believe that He forgives. that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 9, he heals a man born blind. You know what? It's one thing when somebody's sick and they get healed, but this man, he was born this way. And sometimes we even say things like, well, you know, this just runs in my family. Well, you know, I've always been this way. It's just the way it is. This was written that we might believe that it doesn't have to stay that way. That the Creator, he can change it. In John chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. We sang about it this morning. What a powerful story. I love the story where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. It reveals such powerful truth to us. But Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is sick, but he doesn't go to him. He just waits. And he waits. And he waits until he dies. And then Jesus tells the disciples, he sleeps. And they say, oh, Lord, if he's asleep, that's good. He's getting some rest. So Jesus tells them plainly, and I want to read it to you from John chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. He tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes. He wasn't sad. How can this be that his friend has died, but he's not sad? He says, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. He tells the disciples very plainly, I'm glad this happened for your sake, that you might believe. How could he be glad? Because he knew what he was going to do. He knew that when he got there, he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and that was going to help the disciples believe. Well, here's the thing. You need to always know this when you read the Bible. It was written down for you so that you would believe. Jesus comes to the tomb, and in verse 40, he prays. He says to Mary, to Martha, he says, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. And here it is. He says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing by, I've said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus wants us to believe. He wants us to believe. This story was written so that we would know it's never too late for God. It's never too far gone for God. He has power over all the power of the enemy. He has power over death, hell, and the grave. None of it could hold him. I'm just telling you, Jesus has power over it all. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This was written so that we would believe that Jesus is the only way. There's a lot of people that are confused about this. Other religions say it isn't so. The reasoning of man say it isn't so. Even some Christians want to say it isn't so. But Jesus says, nobody comes to the Father but by me. This was written so that you would believe he really is the only way. So that you would believe we got a story, a gospel that we've got to share with others because he really is the only way. It was written that we might believe. A few verses later in verse 16 and 17, he says, and I will pray the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. This was written that we might believe that the Holy Spirit is for every one of us. That Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who is with them, he's in you. You know, sometimes we think, oh, how cool it must have been to be the disciples and to be with Jesus. What are you talking about? He's in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. This was written that we might believe. Verse 27 and 28 of that same book, that same chapter, John 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This was written that we might believe. You see, for the disciples, they were about to experience the most stressful, the most tumultuous time of their life. But it was written for us that we might believe. Some of you are going through the most stressful time of your life. Some of you are dealing with things. You had no idea that things were going to happen this way. And here's what Jesus says, my peace I give to you. This was written so that you could have peace in the midst of the storm. This was written so that you don't have to let your heart be afraid. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This was written so you would know you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to let your heart be troubled. This was written so you would know it's going to be all right. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In John 15 and 11, he says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You see, no matter what's going on, we got the joy of the Lord. This was written that you might believe that the joy of the Lord is yours. It'll give you strength. It'll help you keep going. But you got to have that joy of the Lord. And the only way you're going to get it is if you believe. John 16, 33, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. There's that peace again. In the world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This was written for us that we might know that we're going to overcome. That we might believe we're going to overcome. In John chapter 19, it tells us that our Savior died on the cross. But just before he died, he said, it is finished. It's finished. This was written so that we would believe that Jesus did a finished work on the cross, that the price has already been paid for your sin, that we've already been fully redeemed. He did it by his death on the cross when he said, it is finished. Jesus rose from the dead. John chapter 20 tells us of an empty tomb and how that Mary saw him, and then the other disciples, and then finally Thomas. And I want to read to you about Thomas, because you know what? None of us have seen him in the flesh. Well, here's what it says in John 20, 27. He says to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. It was written so that we would believe. Even though we haven't seen, we believe. And you know what Jesus says about us? He says, you're blessed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We take his word and we build our faith. We strengthen our faith with the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. That's the only way that real faith comes, is by the word of God. It doesn't come just, well, I'm wishing or I hope. And no, it comes from God's word. And so we have to feed ourselves, feed our spirits, the word of God to keep our faith strong. You know, even our salvation comes through faith. I mean, every born again Christian believes this. You can't be born again if you don't believe this, that we're saved by grace through faith. It comes through faith. It's even in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him, you can't receive it without faith. But for so many Christians, that's where they stop. They have faith for salvation. But then many times they're even taught not to believe for anything else. The whole thing was written that you might believe. Let it stir your heart. Let it speak to you. Let its words, listen, it's alive and powerful. Let it come alive in you. Let it bring faith to your heart to believe God. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, we walk by faith. How are you going to do that? The word is what brings faith to your heart. Let it work in you. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, Paul says, "For this reason we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us," and listen, he says, the word of God, he said, you received the word of God. You welcomed it not as the word of man. And I got to say to you, my opinion is not really important. Somebody else's opinion is not really important. You know what's important? The word of God. He says, when we spoke the word to you, you received it as the word of God, not as the word of man. We need to always focus on the word of God. That's the source of truth, and that's what will build our faith and give us the faith that we need to overcome. But he goes on and he says, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also works, also effectively works in you who believe. You see, it doesn't work in those who don't believe it. It works in us when we hear it as it is, the word of God, and we believe it, then it works in us. This is how we receive of so many blessings, the promises. You got to believe. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus is speaking words of life to us. And he says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Where does our faith come from? It comes from the word of God. I want to say it again, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't get faith anywhere else. Not real faith. It's got to come from God's word. Whether it is his written word, or if God spoke something to you personally, but it's through the word of the Lord that our faith comes. It's not just having a, you know, positive attitude, or having this positive thinking or wishing. That's not faith. No, faith is when we believe what God has said. And we as a church, we need to be a faith people, believing God for miracles, standing in faith, seeing God move and work. And if you want to build your faith, you go to the word of God. You realize how often Jesus said to the disciples, where is your faith? How is it you have no faith? Oh, you of little faith. You know what? I think he's still saying the same thing to some of us this morning. Where's your faith? How is it you have no faith? We're dealing with this faith deficit because of the influence of the culture that we live in, because of the whisper of the enemy in our ear, because of the circumstances that we're looking at. But instead, we need to hear the words of our Lord and let it bring faith to our heart so that we can overcome. And by the way, when it Romans 10:17, when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, it is specifically talking about preaching. And there is so much unbelief preached in our day and time. You need to hear faith preached. You need to hear when God's word is declared as it is, instead of torn down and made to fit into the philosophies and the ideas of man. No, we need faith preaching. You want to keep your faith strong? You need to listen to faith-filled preaching. Preaching based on the word of God. Right now, so many hurting people in our world. I see in the ministry of Jesus that Jesus was moved with compassion for people. You know what? That is written for us. so that we would believe that Jesus cares about the things we're going through and what we're dealing with. So many people are just tired and weary and worn out right now. But I see in the scripture, this was written that we might believe. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When our strength runs out, listen, we're supposed to be trusting in His strength, relying on Him. And when we're tired and we're weary, there's a way that we can get strong again. We can get refueled in Isaiah 40:31. This was written that you might believe. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That was written that we might believe that there's a way for us to get strong. We can be strong in the Spirit. We can overcome. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak, not the strong, the weak, let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm strong. You see, we declare that by faith. It was written for us that we might believe. You know, so many people dealing with sickness this past year. Psalm 103:2-3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Here's one of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. How many of you believe that, that God forgives all our sins? That's most of you. And then He says in the very next phrase, it's even the same verse, who heals all your diseases. How many of you believe that? Listen, it's the same verse. Don't be chopping up the Bible to make it fit in with your doctrine and what you think or what somebody else told you. It's the same verse, the same one who forgives all our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. Oh, we have a healer. And sometimes we struggle. We say, well, how come it hasn't happened sooner? Why was this person healed, but this person wasn't healed? You know what? I don't know all the answers, but here's what I do know is that God Himself declares, I am the Lord who heals you. And these things were written for us to believe, not for us to argue over, not for us to, you know, push our ideas or our opinions, but for us to just believe, to accept the Word of God as it is, the Word of God, and believe what He says. And here's what I know. All these battles, we struggle. And it seems like sometimes the battles are so hard and long. And here's what I know. It's a battle. It's a fight of faith. There is a fight of faith. The fight is to believe. Because the battle's not hard for our God, but it is a fight of faith. We're still fighting that fight of faith with Carmen's health. We're fighting that fight of faith with my health too, by the way. Anybody else? We're fighting that fight of faith. We're standing on the Word of God. We're believing the Word of God. But it's a fight. And you know how you fight this fight of faith? Faith. And you know where that faith comes from? It comes from the Word of God. You know how you get strong and you can fight this fight of faith? You stay filled up with the Word of God. You stick in the Word and you keep sticking it inside of you. Faith. Fight the fight of faith. You know what? In this fight of faith, you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to show up without a weapon. And Ephesians 6:17 declares to us that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. This is how we fight the fight of faith. When those circumstances are adverse to what you're believing, when your mind is bringing all kinds of doubts up, then that's the time that you got to have the Word, the sword of the Spirit, so you can fight the fight of faith. People will say negative, fearful things to you. You'll fight the fight of faith with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to challenge you one more time. When you read this book, look at it in this light. This was written that I might believe. You're reading about a widow in a famine and how God provided for her. It was written that you might believe. You say, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, there's something in here written just for you. And when you read it, it's not just a story. It's not just history. It's not just religion. It's written that you might believe. Stand with me. We're going to pray.